It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Them dogs are counting down, about to put the anchor down. Hotty toddy, who's it gonna be?
When you hear that, you know what that means. It's time for the Paul Feinbaum Show. Every day, starting at 2 o'clock, right as we get off the airwaves, and you can be heard on ESPN 94.9. And with that being said, every Thursday he joins us at this time. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Paul Feinbaum is indeed on the line with us, ESPN SEC Network, and it's brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Paul, I know you've been talking about the Big Ten and the cancellation ad nauseum. You're probably sick of it this morning, but I've got to start there because the Big Ten has not allowed themselves any room for error like the SEC did when they pushed everything, all the cancellations, to December 12th. How do you think, in your mind, this is truly going to play out, especially with a case study like Wisconsin, when we don't have any clue when the Badgers are going to be back out on the field?
No, I mean, I think it's easy to say it's going badly, and as soon as you say that, you get a bunch of blowback from people saying, "Well, you know, they're being safe and they're doing all the right things." Well, I don't know. They clearly made a mistake on August 11th when they punted the season, because if that was not a mistake, then why did they come back? And when they came back, they left themselves no margin for error. So I hate to say they're getting what they deserve, because that's a cruel statement about a disease like this or a virus. But you know, whatever happens to them is their own fault, because they should not have punted the season. They should have said, okay, we got a lot of problems. Everyone's having a rough time. Let's postpone until September 26th or even later, and they would have been able to pull this off. But you know, now games can't be made up. And I will say, Wisconsin is obviously their top 10 team, so it affects them and affects their ability maybe to get to the Big Ten championship game. But you know, if this were to hit Ohio State, it would be a lot more important, because Ohio State's a legitimate national championship contender. I don't think Wisconsin is.
We haven't seen, or at least we haven't seen it anywhere to this point, unless you have something, or you've seen something we haven't. The Big Ten committee stepped in and said, Nebraska, you can't play Chattanooga. We're not going to let you do that. And we have not seen a reason why, and we were just basically guessing the reason why. Is the correct guess, or is it because they've said they're doing conference only? They're basically telling their members, you are not allowed to go out and schedule games outside of the conference if your game is canceled?
That is correct. Okay. That was the decision they made. And you know, remember Nebraska in the early days after the postponement of the season, they were trying to get a schedule together. They were talking about joining another league. Nebraska is just like the kid at the back of the class that won't shut up. And quite frankly, they are, I mean, they're in the Big Ten, but you know, they're not exactly part of the original circle of trust. So I think they feel a little more emboldened. But, you know, I mean, what would they have gained by playing Chattanooga? And you know, it's a game. It's a paycheck, I suppose. But to me, it would cheapen the season, so to speak. Nothing against Chattanooga. It's a game for them, and it's a good game for them, but it just adds nothing to the Big Ten schedule. So that's where they are, and yeah, I can't imagine this is going to be the only time it's happened. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of issues in the SEC, but the Florida situation was pretty serious. Obviously, Vanderbilt has had some problems, to say the least. So it can happen, and it can happen any day now because of what everyone is telling us about the state of the virus.
The Titans are traveling to Cincinnati this Sunday to take on the Bengals and Joe Burrow. What did you think of what Joe Burrow would be coming out of LSU after they won the national championship, and what do you think of his career right now to this point? Are you impressed? Is he doing better than you thought? You know, how would you describe what you've seen out of Joe Burrow to this point in his NFL career?
I think he's done pretty well. And, you know, it really is interesting if you go back a year or two after Joe Burrow's first season at LSU, the odds of him being the first player taken and winning the Heisman were astronomical. But yeah, all things considered, I think he's had a pretty good season. I mean, he's starting as a rookie. I was on a program earlier today on ESPN, and they're talking about, you know, is this the end of Cam Newton again? So when you consider Cam Newton's career versus versus where Joe is right now, I'd say Joe's doing okay. And yeah, you guys cover the NFL more than I do. I mean, the odds of having a flawless rookie season are pretty slim, but the fact that he's playing and contributing to me is very significant.
Talking to Paul Finebaum, talking some SEC football here. So, Paul, what's going on down at Mississippi State? They started so well. They're struggling now. I know there's a lot of issues with transfers, people leaving. What's the end game here?
I think it's a dangerous game right now that Mike Leach is playing. And by the way, all coaches have the right to clean up their programs, but they usually do it before the first game, not after the third or fourth. And I mean, this just doesn't, I've never seen anything quite like this. Coaches tell me all the time that, they probably, if they had it to do over again, would have gotten rid of more players after the first year or after the first spring practice. But you know, Leach, I think, is just a carefree guy who, kind of goes to his own beat and to me, he's veering or slouching towards something very dangerous here, because Kylin Hill was his best player. He was also the most important player in that state because of his stand this summer for the Mississippi flag. And I don't know what Kylin Hill said after a game. Obviously, Leach didn't like it and pushed him toward leaving. But you know, those are things you have to deal with privately. You have to try to work out. And right now, the impression of Leach's program is that it's a disaster. His defenders, which are few and far between, are saying, well, this is what you have to do. But I would strongly disagree. And, you know, the credibility that he had going into that job and the inflated credibility that he had after the first win against LSU is shattered right now.
You know, I look back, Paul, at one point, if I remember correctly, Tennessee did make a play to try to grab him. And you look through the years at, you know, first coming up through the ranks at Kentucky and then Texas Tech and then Washington State. He's been at sort of, and now Mississippi State seems to be the same kind of program, just outside the main, you know, teams that you think are going to contend to championships every year. Tennessee, you know, was looking for, they seem to be in a different profile. Would you think he would have been a fit at Tennessee, or what would that marriage have been like?
Just like it is here at Mississippi State. And I mean, John Curry offered them the job. Leach told me that. And you know, when the chancellor found out, she fired John Curry, and she got fired. And that's how we got Phil Fulmer and ultimately Jeremy Pruitt. But I think he had a better shot at Mississippi State than Tennessee, just based on the tradition of the school, the power structure, the number of people that you have to deal with. Mike Leach is not a guy that you want to take into the boardroom at some bank in Nashville for lunch. I don't want to act like I don't like him. I do. I've known Mike Leach a long time, but I think his career is somewhat misleading. He was very good at Texas Tech. But at Washington State, he only had one really good year there. One year that he finished in the top 25. And I think he's lived off of his reputation, the pirate motif, the occasional big upset, which he usually follows with a dud. And you know, he was the one guy that needed to get out of the gate strongly this year because he had a fairly decent team. And you know, right now, after three losses, he heads into Alabama this week. I mean, there's nothing good can happen in Tuscaloosa Saturday night.
Paul, as far as Tennessee, this is the question we've brought up for discussion this week, and you're the perfect person to weigh in on it. They've lost three in a row. They've lost a lot of momentum right now. Garantano is the center of attention, and they've got the true freshman quarterback that they're pretty high on. So here's the thing with the bye week. If you're Jeremy Pruitt, is it worth the risk, of, even if it costs you a game this year, to let the kid play, see what you have, if it means you might be better off at the start of next year? Or can he afford to do that at this point?
He can't afford to do it. He's got capital. He just got a new contract. I mean, come on. But, you know, the question is that part of Jeremy Pruitt's DNA? I don't think it is. I think it would be smart to do that and to say, you know what, three losses, and if you look at the schedule, they're very well. I mean, it's, even the most optimistic Rocky Topper is going to have a hard time, you know, looking at this season as anything but 500. And that's being optimistic. You know, with Florida, Texas A&M among the remaining games. I think Auburn's on there as well. And how do you stay with Garantano? I don't know. It just, to me, it's stubborn, and he just needs to quit coaching like every game is his last game. It's not. The university has spoken. Take advantage of it. I'm not saying gut the whole season, but I would start making moves toward the future, not trying to eke out a 6-4 or 5-5 record that will do you no good whatsoever.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum of the SEC Network and ESPN, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. So sticking on the Tennessee front, I mean, we all remember the 90s and winning the national championship, and Philip Fulmer had them competing for SEC titles, and then we all know what it's been like the last decade or so. Do you trust this group and Philip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt to get this program turned around to where it is, at least competing for an SEC East title, let alone the SEC title?
Not at the moment. And I did a couple of months ago. I really felt like things were going in the right direction, but I'm not so sure. And maybe it's reactionary. You know, the Kentucky, it's hard to look past that Kentucky game.
Agreed.
The other two losses are certainly legitimate, but Kentucky, losing 34-7 at home to Kentucky is not legitimate. And I think that's where Pruitt is right now. And it's a critical time to try to, figure out the direction of this program, but it just, yeah, his statement after the game. I stood on the sideline at Alabama as a coach a couple of years ago, and you know the score may not be any different, but the gap is closing. I mean, that's an absurd statement.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Even if he believes it, and by the way, you guys have all been around coaches. I mean, sometimes they know a little bit more. They know the players are coming in, but you just don't say that. That all that means is that you're trying to make excuses. And that's the one thing Tennessee fans are sick of. They had enough of that with Butch Jones.
That was in my line. I was going to say, yeah. Butch Jones told him to say it. But he just.
I mean, at this point, I don't want to be one of these, you know, Twitter freaks and start doing the Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt three-year comparisons. But they all look pretty similar right now.
Yeah, you're right. Because it's just, I know last week, earlier this week when he said that, I'm going, really? What gap? I mean, yes, the recruiting classes are there. Butch recruited. They couldn't develop them. And so I can understand it. We all know Vols fans are, you know, it's hot and cold. It's, you know, it's like a wrestling storyline. One week it's good, one week it's bad. But I certainly understand their frustration in all of this because they've been patient long enough. So at what point does it get turned around? At what point is it more than just, yes, one of the best recruiting classes in the country, these are actually really good players, and now we're winning games? That's what I can't figure out.
But the misnomer about the SEC, if you're a blue-chip program, which I think Tennessee still is, I'm not sure, you want to be able to recruit well. It's not a shock that Tennessee is having good recruiting classes. I mean, Georgia's having better recruiting classes. Alabama's having better. Florida, you know, maybe, you know, is ascending. So, I mean, that's your competition. And what really blew me away about the Kentucky game was if you're trying to keep up to be an SEC East contender, you better beat Kentucky every year.
because you're gasping for breath to try to stay with Florida and Georgia. And right now you're not in Georgia's league, and we'll find out at the end of the season if you're in Florida's league. You certainly aren't in Alabama's. So where are you?
Well, and I mean, I know they're in the West, but you look at a program like Arkansas that has had this. I mean, they're 500 right now, and they really should be 3-1 after the Auburn game. I mean, Sam Pittman, who we all went, huh? Who? Okay, sure. And Felipe Franks. I mean, they've had a tremendous, and I use that word because of where it was, start to their season. And I mean, what does that say when you see a program like that do this kind of turnaround, and then Tennessee can't get it right?
And they've got a coach who is irreverent, but he's likable. And I always hate to spend too much time criticizing someone for how they handle press conferences, but you guys have interviewed Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, has he ever said anything interesting?
Not really.
I think we all know the answer to that.
I've known him a long time, and I genuinely believe he's a good football coach. But, you know, couldn't he just, like, spend 5 minutes a day with someone from the communication department saying, you know, maybe I could try to act like I care when I'm doing an interview with you guys or me or anyone else. But it's always the same. And that hurts because recruits see that stuff. I mean, and Nick Saban's interesting. I mean, even I interview all these coaches, and you know, he's the one, and you interview a zillion coaches as well. And when you welcome Jeremy Pruitt to your program, you're like, okay, these are 8 or 9 minutes, which you hope the audience doesn't just take, you know, either nod off or take a break. And he doesn't have to be that way.
Who do you have on the show today?
Jeremy Pruitt will be on for the entire 4 hours.
And on that note, that's a mic drop. We will end this. Paul, always a pleasure. Thanks for doing this. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
All right, Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Gary Force Accurate. He took the bait, and he put it on a tee, and he knocked it out of the park. And MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. When we come back, we're going to ask you to be teachers or professors, however you want to view yourself, as a Tennessee fan. What is your grade on Jeremy Pruitt now? That's number one. What is your grade today? What is your grade for Jeremy Pruitt? 2, 3 years from now, do you believe Jeremy Pruitt will still be the head coach at Tennessee? And why? That's what we're asking you to do. Weigh in with us. Text line, phone line, wide open. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Play a teacher or a professor, whatever you want to be. What's your grade today of Jeremy Pruitt? And tell us a little bit of why. And 3 years from now, will Jeremy Pruitt still be the head coach at Tennessee? And why did you answer it that way, yes or no? We'll come back, get a reaction on the other side. Floyd Reese will begin the second hour of the program, so that's coming up at 11 o'clock. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.